And let's end in our Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I read to you verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is where we are going to think about this morning. And our subject is committing your all to Jesus. Committing your all to Jesus. And this is what Apostle Paul is trying to explain in this Romans chapter 12, which we are going to explore this morning. Friends, why would Christ demand that we submit our all unto Him? Why would He do that? It's because we come into this world into a battle. We are born into this world, not our fault, but we come into this world, into a world of battle between us and Satan, a battle between us and the world, a battle between us and our depraved nature. In such a battle, you need Christ. He is the only one who has been able to conquer the Satan, the world, and ourselves. Therefore, we need to submit our all unto Him. Without that, there's no way we can fight that battle. And there's no way we can have glory in future. So this is a very, very important subject. When Christ said we should submit our all unto Him. And that is the only way we can follow Him. Throughout His life on earth, He has always demanded that in following Him, we must give our all to Him without any exception. And a typical example is the rich young man who went to Christ to ask Him how he can be saved and go to heaven. This man, I'm sure you all know of that story. Outwardly, the man seemed to be okay with all the laws and the commandments and everything. But because Christ knows every heart, He knew that he was keeping something. He was keeping his love, his heart. He wasn't giving his heart to God. And Christ saw this. And then Christ said, this man can be a follower. Because outwardly, he showed a sign of being a very good person. But inwardly, he was keeping his heart. And that is the one thing that we can never do if we really want to follow Christ. And if I assume I mean, that's what I said. You need to be a share yes, sir. You need to be a share yes, sir. Now, sir, the Romans are saying, actually, if you have a share yes, sir, then you Apostle Paul, a cancer. Now, if you say, I'm going to cancer, I'm going to get cancer. So, I'm going to get cancer. And America said, the campaign is a man of cancer. And he said, if you are still a woman, you're a man of a man, you're a man. We say it all the time. Do we really understand it? Life is war. Obraya oku. We come into this world to face war. It, you know, I just say onukwa. And I make us oku na yebeku no. Yani Satan. Any area timu. Any yakasa yakuma. I say no. Any yani no war oku. Any na ema yiti mi so onyangu nyangu point. The better ni yakusa oku. I just say onukwa ni nipa. What you make this anime so inkuni. What you want to do something inkuni. On what you are soon quitting, on what you are coming soon quitting. Chagis or no, and I bet you may have one or so. Now, wait me, I shall answer if you are seeing through that or corner, any dashing, I will go heaven. It didn't also, we have to commit our all to Him. And I make up your own, maybe I'll call you to work again, so I say, or Chenna Pania, or Befasa, or Beba, or Napo, not dashing, or go heaven. And I yes, I can't say Uncle D. M. Ramiso. Who are this one, they were doing running in our so. na yesterday say say onim ni bi en ti ohun se emra ni ye hia pa no ese se odina kuma benya ko pon e do de wa fa nka ho nti na na bi en se won de omokro no omodwaman oye se o ma ni tie nti no je se eno anu no na yesu ma ni hu se eno no ye enough ajiso odina kuma ni na ma no na onu mo no eteten and san was made sa ofun so enkonim amadaachi onya eni onyam ewo heaven. So Christ will never accept a partial commitment. If he didn't do it at that time, he wouldn't also do it now. The Bible and yes, you can say, I just want to win that man, and then son or can. But sorry, for how many years, all your life? Now who keep you at home? One can say, I want to win that man, yes. And the pastor, I want to win that man. Because you have to go and ye or someone, or ye or some every obi and Akuma every time. The better of my back, I just hold you now, share this. And who wants them now, if it's young and okay. Now, Sir Romans chapter 12, and then a chile say a crying out, ye be faso. Now, yes, me also, when you have to go yes, me asking me. So, Romans chapter 12 is a chapter in the Bible that describes how we must respond to God's mercy. God is a merciful God, full of compassion. How are we responding to His mercy? What are we doing to also appreciate that we accept the mercy of God? This is what Romans chapter 12 is about. From chapter 11, we can read there, but if you have time and you go there, you will see that Apostle Paul was talking about the ownership of this universe, that God is the ownership of the owner of this universe. He created the world and all of us. And therefore, we are His people. And not until, because of sin, we are not separated from Him. Even though we were created in His image, because of sin, we have become enemies. So to bring us back, and because of His mercy, He sent to come and die for us on the cross of Calvary, that we shall be saved. So how are we responding to this mercy of God? And here, Apostle Paul provides a basis, spiritually, what it means to follow Christ totally. And then when you follow Him totally, He's going to talk about the changes that He makes in your life. Last Tuesday at our prayer meeting, I mentioned that when we talk of a mystery, a miracle, is how a sinner is changed to become a saint. Simply, I would say simply, but it's not that simple, by hearing the gospel. And the person is changed, his outlook is changed, his taste, his everything about him is changed. That is a miracle. And that's what Christ has done for us. And Paul is asking here, how are we responding to this mercy so that we can have access to God and then in future be with Him in His glory? So, Apostle Paul is also trying to explain this unconditional surrender. But once that is done and the conversion takes place, a person is now changed into his real life. So the hood now my Jesus said yeah now or sawa kuma. A pen and now work as any power now we power no and go bone. A pen and now baba yesa. So then you have bow and sana Satan everybody will finish. A pen now sakosati bianu. And it takes a total surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's listen to Apostle Paul again in the passage. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, you present your body entirely to Him. Holy. Holy means, when you say somebody is holy, you are set apart. You live in this world, but you're not part of it. You are set apart for God. Holy. And then acceptable unto God. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. Bro, can you please read that in Greek for me? See, you can never do this. You can't give a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. It's when you are living that you commit your entire life unto Him. You can't do that when you are dead. So this is the time, once you are alive, it may be too late when death lays its icy hands on you. So to present your body, that is Paul's way of saying that, like, put your whole self in. Put your whole self into Christ. As someone can say, who are we to me any side in the view? Every hour, Chelsea, and I saw the moon now shedding, sir, now on Rancasano, a great in the war. There are a dear man, a chance, I give you a reaction. Yes, you are. What to me, a woo and yanning? Ah, if you see a woman, a visit out the weird, why you bonita? Send the person for a woman, I then find you a problem. What do you fear? If you give your life to Christ, you can never go wrong if He is guiding you. If you go wrong, then it's according to God's purpose, and it is for your good. If God allows you to do something that is not acceptable to Him, then it is for your good. Anything that happens to you, if you give your life to Him, it is for your good. And one thing I want you to realize is that this message that Paul gave was addressed to a church in Rome. It was not addressed to the Gentiles. It means there were people in the church who were worshipping all the time and yet were not saved. Let's say you are called a chocoma Roman for one chocoma a Yasifono or chocoma a sorry for no. And almost this of your own coupon. I'm called the Bia, Echo Bako, the Emma Offie, Ebia. Not just the Emma Paul chocoma, which is a view of all the monsoon, no money and quantity. Omo for my community, Emma Yusu. Omo the past, Eba, sorry, and Omoya could be a group. Not they are in their own world. They live as the worldly that. So there's nothing changed in their heart. And this is what our Apostle Paul is trying to address here. So there were people who were worshipping, but had not given their life wholeheartedly to Christ. And therefore, making their worship in vain. A man is that, when you have a small person, or offer a woman, the woman be an, you do it in vain. It will never be acceptable. That's why you say acceptable. Now, come on, and the Nyan knew about Kuma, you were scanning up on you, or Kuma, or business is time. And then she said, or draw a door. Of a set or no one else to control, or not a sense of ethnic or not a saddle or baby. And like I said, all of us understand giving an offering of money or all those things. We know how to give offering, we know how to do all these things. But do we know how to offer our heart to Christ? That is the issue. Do we know how to offer our lives to Christ? The giving of the monies and all the other services, it first shows that you appreciate God's blessings in your life. First. Second, it also shows your commitment to the ministry or the congregation, because we need money to run the church. And then third, it is part of our worship. You know that when we come before God in worship, we give offering. So we know all these things. And then we also know that it is a way of opening up the windows of blessing of God unto us. We know that when we give our offerings, our tithes, we know that it also opens the windows of heaven unto us. We know all these things. But the most important thing is, do we offer our hearts to Christ? Wholeheartedly, completely, not halfway. That is what is doing, Apostle Paul is trying to do here. And most of us, when we come to church, we come prepared. We must be prepared to give our whole heart to God. Why? First, we brought things that need to be confessed and cleansed before we leave. When we come before the Lord, we come as sinful people, we come with our sins, and then we seek that our sins will be forgiven us, will be cleansed before we leave here. We also got questions that need answers and problems that need solutions when we come before the Lord. We also bring our burdens that need to be lifted. We also bring anxiety that needs to be dismissed and frustration that needs to be dealt with. We bring all these things unto the Lord. But it is easier to say all these things, to come and talk about sins forgiving and all these things. But do we sincerely mean it? How do we mean it? We mean it by committing our entire lives into the hands of Christ for Him to take control. As we learn from our hymn number 468. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto you. That is what Apostle Paul is talking about, and that's what Christ is also telling us here. Let me quote what a theologian said about this. He said, worship is the total commitment of the total person for the total life. Anything less is not genuine worship. As some of can say, say a better point, you ever soon. And you say, you did. Yebi bia hye Awurade Yesu. Yedi pedia yadwene ani yebi bia. Ose bibia ente saa no. Enye osom papa. Anything less is not genuine worship. There's another quote by Horace Bonner, the one who wrote most of our hymns. He says, there must be an acceptable worshiper before there can be an accepted worship. There must be an acceptable worshiper before there can be an accepted worship. The author of Shannon said, as I said, if I now have a sin in Yakupon, where you will be our soul in Yakupon, and some in Yakupon to argue this one. And yes, I was my own, it will be in vain. So, friends, real worship is not just of offering prayers to God or the ceremonial things that we do, especially in some other churches, or in making life donations, even though it's good, it's a blessing, and then not singing of songs and praises or just listening to the sermons. Real worship happens when we confess things, turn from that sin, and then we offer ourselves completely and wholeheartedly to God. Or sister, you're casting your smart, and someone said, you bet, confess it, your body, you bet, can your body actually your coupon? You have said, it's on fire, you have seen all this, but you know, now you're a human, no, I shed it. And then they worship what is acceptable or to come to God. And friends, why won't we do this? If you really know that you have come before the most holy God, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the holy, holy, holy God. If you know that you have come before such a God, it shouldn't be a problem for you to commit your entire life unto him. So when we said, San Ampoya Yakana Timuna said, what bunny new moa? Esther who said, Udo bunny ever tuned him, now on one amount of bunny fetches, not two or three star bunny no home, not paid yet, what's funny? It's not the same, dear Yakasi. Yeah, sure, and sorry, I'm a bad one, a dear sour, I'm a bunch of a dear sour, and when you know, oh, you know, I'm not going to be here. So, I'm not going to be here. What do you think of Uncle Esther? So, we should know that very, very well. So, I'm going to go on the new moon, and in the holiness here, can anything is our ruin ever share. And that is what we must do. We should put our whole self in and then just trust in the power of the Almighty God. Now let's come to our passage and see why we should offer ourselves. Now we are going to explain why we should do this, why we should offer ourselves unto God according to the passage. From verse 1, we offer ourselves to God because of his mercy. Because of the sponsor. The son of the it's like I am the to be a but the God of mercy, and he is very compassionate. So because of that, we should also offer all ourselves unto him. You see, Paul presents God's mercy as his strongest argument in this. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, so when we think of what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us through Christ on the cross of Calvary, the only response is to give ourselves completely to him. That's what Paul is saying here. When we think of what God has done for us on the cross of Calvary, when we were sinless by nature, when we came into this world, into a world of battle. But through Christ, our sins have been forgiven us. We have access to God. We have access to prayer. And we have a hope of going to heaven. If you think of all these things, your only answer, your only response is to give your whole life to God. And we know that it is only Christ who can save sinners. We are all sinners. And we know that sin has deadly consequences. The consequences of sin, do you know what it is? Depravity. You are depraved. You have become corrupt. Your entire life is corrupt. There's nothing in you that is acceptable unto God. The bonny edibano. So we give this animal with Moho. The yes, why I am our. Everyone who says it's all good in our shedding, sir. Yes, you do the bonnet. You won't. And now, the dear Apata, your bonny. And there might be many a fine a cock on your cooking. Women, you say, oh, you know, and so we have this animal with that. And if I take beer, what you are for us or Rahua, what are you more being for Calvary? So, Sammy Amity, hey, it's not say yes, we will Calvary, Amamintino, you will come in the Punyam. What are you saying? I will go on. I didn't know everyone who says, no, you will cry, will be beer share on your sponsor. It will let you know that you have to commit your entire life unto this God. And what God has done for us is an act of grace and mercy. It is a very, very, very ultimate gift. That we should never forget what Christ has done for us. And because of that, we must give our whole lives unto Him because of His mercy. Friends, let's think again. Where would we be if it wasn't for the presence of God in our lives? If it wasn't for His mercy? What kind of hope would we have in Him? Let's think about all these things. Consider your family, your friends, your job, your church. Do we deserve all these things? No, it's only by the mercy of God, by the mercy of God. So when you think of all these things, then it draws you to Himself, that you should offer your entire body unto Him and leave Him to direct your life. He is the one who can direct you that you will never go wrong. There's a movie some time ago that they used to call it Tender Mercy. Tender mercy. And this tender mercy is about some man in England, in America. And this man was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic, very serious one. And he had a band that they used to go from pub to pub, beer bar to beer bar, and then perform. And one day, they went to a pub to perform. And he got so drunk that they left him there. They left him at the pub. And then eventually the owner of the pub went to him and he spoke to him about Christ. And right from there, this man converted and they gave him a job there to do. He got to know Christ. So when he's the one who named the film as Tender Mercy. If such a drunkard can now find God, he can see that it is tender mercy. And I'm sure all of us could testify that if it wasn't for Christ, where would we be? We come into the world with our sins at our back. The sins that make us depraved, the sins that make us unacceptable unto God. And how can we have access to our Creator? It's through the tender mercy. And we shall respond to this tender mercy by committing our entire lives unto Him. And also, we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's what Apostle Paul is saying, that present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And the expression here, the living sacrifice, is it's like referring to the Old Testament sacrifices. You know, in those days, the chief priest, even when he's going to offer animals for the forgiveness of the sins of the people, he had to offer an animal so that their sins will be forgiven us. Because Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But in the New Testament, it is to offer, Christ offered himself personally for our sins to be forgiven us. So, as of this celebration of what God has done for us through his Son, we must give ourselves entirely to him as a living sacrifice. So what Apostle Paul is saying is that give your whole person, your whole body, your everything, as we said in hymn number 468, we will sing it later on, commit your entire life unto him as a living sacrifice. And like I said earlier on, it is more difficult to give a living sacrifice than to give a dead sacrifice. And it is of no use to also give a dead sacrifice to God. When you are dead, the die is cast. There's no time for repentance. You are straight to judgment. So it is time when you are alive to give your life to him. That is why he's talking about a living sacrifice. And why is it difficult? Because a living sacrifice will cost you something. You have to forgo so many things and commit your entire life unto God. But the situation of man is that we love our sin. By nature, we love our sin. So it's difficult to forgo that sin and come and follow God. Apostle Paul has come up with a living sacrifice, which is a sacrifice. Now we pray now, every share of his son. And make us say, and pay peer, yeah, I don't know, eh, my. If you say, if you have to know, you have to, Yahweh has to know, Yahweh has to born in me, but you know, Yahweh has to know, eh, eh, Boni eh, eh, and son, no, me, and the moon, no, eh, yam, and never my dear, cause the yamuno, and eh, eh, if you are my ear, then, say, baby, just have not to hold, yeah, it takes the grace of God and his mercy to draw you from that state. When it comes to a dead sacrifice, it doesn't cost you anything because you are already dead. But a living sacrifice, that is what is acceptable unto God. In the Bible, there are two main living sacrifices which I want to mention now. All of them give an example or a clue as to what it means to offer ourselves as living sacrifice. And in all the two that I'm going to mention, they were all acts of worship. And the first one was Isaac. Isaac, he gave himself willingly on the altar. And the father was going to slaughter him in obedience to God's will. But then, the Lord, having seen the faith of Abraham, sent a ram to take his place. So you see, he died and willingly gave himself to God's will. So, as a man, a living sacrifice, you will be new ever back. And better, you share, but you get the kind, any Isaac. When you require the first of all Isaac, none of my me, a deal over 90 years, over 400 years, ah, now Omunya award, and you have a castle on the wall, and penny and power. Omo wo ya the two being Isaac. Now you say, "Oh, Baba, ah, what bra, we nyanu." They were the castle. Fani kubo akodi anu. Isaac, a penin, a gitumu, a maye ni kosi ni kubo na akodi. A horn ni kubo, a di ujani, a koye. Say yamkumu ujani mu. So that is a sacrifice. He offered himself. That what will happen. One, it is the will of God. You are prepared to do that. And the second one was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was the perfect living sacrifice. And because as for him, God did not provide any ram as he did in the case of Isaac. He personally died as a sacrifice. He died on the cross of Calvary. So he was the perfect living sacrifice. And why did he do that? In obedience to the will of God. And for people like us, so these are the reasons why we should submit our life to Christ. When we think about all these things, it tells us that we should sacrifice our lives unto Christ. So this is what Apostle Paul had in mind when he told the church that they should offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. And that is what is expected of every person, all of us, especially those who come to church. If you come to church and you have never committed your entire life unto Christ, your worship is in vain. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. It's not me. The Bible is saying it. Your worship is in vain. It's not acceptable unto God. Unless your heart has been changed, and then your worship will be acceptable unto God. And remember the word, he said, living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Which means it's our life. It's continuous. It's not just one and it is finished. It's like all your life. It's not only when you come to church for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and then when you go to the world, you are like the worldly people. No. It's a living sacrifice. So you commit your entire life unto Him, all your life, in the church, in your school, in your workplace, in your community, wherever you are, your life must be a life of submission of your entire life to Christ. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Living, yadia e koso, e twaso, e nyadia e ne yadjai, e twaso, e wabra uti biya simun, bi biya uye biya, mi se e odo wama nyan kupon, nye se wopa asore nko. Asore, ufie, wajumem, usku, bebi awote, mi se, uye nyan kupon jipa, uye holy. Holy means set apart for God. So if you are set apart for God, it must be shown in your life, not just 1 hour of our life in the church. It involves everything. So true worship is our personal linking of our faith and our works. True worship now, and he said, "Give dear now when you see a people who are using a show what you mean." So you don't only see this church as the temple of God. God is in your heart. The temple is in your heart. So you see the whole world as a temple of God. Wherever you are for God. It's not only when you come to church. So real worship is offering our everyday life to God. I'm sure when people are coming to church, they say, I'm going to church to worship God. Anybody be back a story or say because you know me. But why are you not worshiping that same God in your office? Why are you not worshiping that same God in your school, in your community, wherever you are? Why are you not worshiping that same God? But you see, you can only worship Him when you come to this place. And especially when your heart is not changed, your worship is in vain. So worship affects every aspect of our life, and wherever we are, and whatever we are doing, this worship must be shown in our life. And it must be shown in the life of the person who has committed his entire life into the hands of the Almighty God. I'm sure most of you know about A.W. Tozer. He's a theologian. He has written so many books. Listen to what he said. He said, if you will not worship God 7 days a week, you do not worship Him on 1 day a week. If you do not worship God 7 days a week, you don't worship Him on 1 day a week. The opposite of Ocheri said, only Sunday morning, you come and sit here for 1.5 hours, and you think you have worshiped God and you are off. Once you live here, the next is your whole life. Entertainment, football, politics, and you are in the world. No. We live in the world, but we are not part of the world. We can get ourselves involved in all those things, but we must know who we are. We cannot actively take all those things to our hearts. We must be very careful about that. So sometimes we think that we must always withdraw to a church to worship. No, we can worship God in whatever we are doing. We know that God is watching you. Let me quote another American writer. He's called Jim Pike. He said, when someone says, oh, I can worship God anywhere, the answer is, do you? You see, when some people, when you are talking to them, especially those young ladies who go to the charismatic churches and you talk to them about dresses and they are complaining, they will tell you, oh, you can worship God anywhere. But do they do that? Do they really worship God wherever they are? That's the question that the spike is asking here. Do we actually worship God in wherever we are? The fourth thing is that we offer ourselves to God through transformation and renewal. Verse 2. We offer ourselves through transformation and renewal. See, so we demonstrate our commitment by refusing to conform to the world. By refusing to conform to the world. And by being transformed through renewed mind. As I said earlier on, we are transformed through the word of God. The same word that made a sinner become a saint is the same word that sees us through in our sanctification. So Apostle Paul is saying here, we demonstrate our commitment by refusing to conform to the world and being transformed through renewed minds. And he said, Apostle Paul, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 2. So that is what it is. In committing your entire life to Christ, your life is being transformed. Remember, we are being transformed into the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what we are. So by committing your entire life to Him, you are fulfilling this. So whenever we give ourselves to God, it is reflected on how we live. When you say you are giving your life to God, it must reflect on how you live. The way you speak to people, the way you do everything must be as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must not be like the chameleon. I'm sure you know this chameleon. I don't know his chin name. You know that kind of lizard that changes color wherever it goes. When it comes here and the color is green, it turns to green. Whenever you go somewhere and red, it turns to red. We must not be like them. Mohun abuwa bia wa yase okutre. Okobe bia, kala ya ohonu. Na wa change yapa, sakala. If you are living like that, you are like that animal, that reptile. When you go to the world, you behave like them. When you come to church, you behave like you are in the church. That is not acceptable unto God. You are lukewarm if you do that. We live as a people who are non-conformists. We don't conform to this world. We look up to our Lord who has bought us and bought us with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we live as a people who are transformed, who have been transformed on the inside, whose hearts have changed. And then it is reflected in your life to show that this person really has their life changed. We know that we live in a world of pressure, the whole world. That's why we said it's the battle between us and the world. The world and its system put pressure on us to conform to what they want. And we are seeing a woman. In a big case, or corner, you Satan, you are Satan, not a son of Asher. And we are seeing the system, your government, even our everything is designed in a way that it will draw us to the world. So we live in a world that put pressure on us. That is why we need to commit our entire life unto Christ. Otherwise, you can never go through. The world will draw you. It's so powerful. The world, Satan, and ourselves is so powerful. You need somebody like Christ when you are in such a situation. So people who have given their entire life to God, allow God for it to release His power from within. When you do that, then you allow God to use His power to work within you. The power that will change you to be able to live a life that He's talking about. That's why we say the power is in the gospel. The power that brought our Lord from death to life is the power that works in us as Christians. But how can you get this power? It's by committing your entire life unto Christ and allowing Him to direct you in everything that we do. So friends, as we come to conclusion, let me remind you that these things happen when Christ comes into a person. The person becomes a new person. Your mind is different. Your mind is changed to be like the mind of Christ. Rather than allowing the world to squeeze us, let us give our entire life unto God. Because when the world squeezes you, it's going to mold your life. And it's going to mold your life according to Satan. So my reality action was a reality now ever done than what bravo. Now if you have to down a bravo or done a bravo, the accord of the sun. See, I told you who my yes, moment than what bravo, and they call yes. It's as simple as that. There are only two ways. Either you live for God or you live for Satan. But you can only live for God when you commit your entire life unto Christ. That is what the chapter is about. So, as I get into the end, before then, I'll just give you some two quotes. But I want to remind you that the primary goal of worship is transformation. And the only way that we can have our lives transformed is by totally giving our lives to God, our mind and everything, so that the power of Christ will indwell us, and then our hearts will be changed. And sana, transformation, that our lives will be changed. Now, if I sadly we to me after so bad, say, who never change this. Not halfway. Your entire life in the hands of. That is why I always say, we as Christians, we who claim that we have received this mercy, in the evening we will talk about zeal. How zealous are we to God? If you look at what He has done for us, the same thing. If you have been totally giving your life to Christ, friends, you are lucky or you are fortunate to hear this today. It is not too late. Once you are here, make sure before you leave here, wherever you are sitting right now, commit your entire life to Him. The American said, "Of someone you assume you are born, so the baby are your best son." The point of the son, he said, "You are the baby of the share Jesus." It is also here. Not only for whom baby are share Jesus with the air. Now, but don't know for whom baby share Jesus. Eventually, say, "Who free are who fear?" Abra what is saying? Who call a reality man? Abra what is saying? And then say, "Who can you?" Not only yes, and yea, what he had, how woman wouldn't doubt with you. And yea, what he had, how woman, how woman, no man crying, no omra, or bravo, no omra kitchen, no more who bound with the asimu, no on some own that's all, said that tribunal, the Otino, pronounce overcome. And like I said, this transformation takes place the moment you give your life to Christ. It's an instant thing. Right now, if you haven't done that, and as you are sitting down, you bow down your head and pray for that to happen, and you do it sincerely from your heart, it has happened. It isn't the process that takes some stages. If you completely give your life to Him, right from where you are, it has taken place. And then the transformation will start. So it begins from you, by thinking of what Christ has done for you, by His mercy, and then committing your entire life unto Him. Like I said, I'll just give you some two quotes and then we go. One is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He's an American poet. He said, "The simplest person who in his integrity worship God becomes God." But see, if we are, say any idea we are seeing, now we are so simple. Simple, simple person. But what do you now? And you cram assume Yankopon. Obey say on Yankopon. If you sincerely commit your life to Christ, you become like Him. Then there was another British philosopher. He said, "Worship is the free offering of ourselves to God, ever renewed because ever imperfect. It expresses the consciousness that we are His by right, yet we have not duly passed into His hands." Ma, we talk to Ma, what can you say? Or see, or someone say, "Oh, do we na ebema Jesus? Na obesi sangu?" Because so sour you will ever be imperfect. Which means pepper pepper. I just say was a sound. Any friends, this morning I'm sure we have all learned our lesson, committing our all into the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And like I said, if you haven't done that, let this morning be the time. Where you are, bow down your head and pray that God will take control of your life. And friends, are you ready to do this? Are you ready to put your entire life in the arms of God? Are you ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ? And like I said, if you haven't, let today be the day as we bow down our heads and pray to Him.